This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome to Wizard Team, a Harry Potter cast for true Potterheads. Usually each week we discuss a chapter from the Harry Potter series, but today we're doing something a little different. I'm Robin.
And I'm Bayana. Today we're doing another bonus episode, our first for Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. We'll be talking about class in the Wizarding World, largely through the Weasleys and the Malfoys.
Some really quick announcements. Use the hashtag Wizard Team on Twitter to follow along. You can also tag and follow us at We Black and Nerds.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be black at Hogwarts? Would you like to imagine that? We are working on a project called Hogwarts BSU, a collection of stories, anecdotes, fan art, and more illustrating what it would be like to be a black Hogwarts student. If you would like to submit, then check out the website for guidelines.
Subscribe to our newsletter that can be found on our website. There's a side panel, or you can go to tinyletter.com/BGNO to get the
also
newsletter.
Also, follow us on social media. You can do, what is it, Twitter, at We Black and Nerds, Facebook, Black Girls Nerd Out, Instagram, Black Girls Nerd Out, Tumblr, Black Girls Nerd Out. Most of the stuff that we post, like, lives on Twitter, kind of. Like, the other stuff kind of, like, is ancillary because we're not on it as much, but we're always on Twitter. We are at We Black and Nerds.
We are always on Twitter. I'm on Twitter right now having an argument with someone, but that's cool. Okay. Actually, no, I blocked them, so
yeah, I was gonna say
argument over.
I was like, is it the same person?
Yeah, no, they're blocked. Argument done. So let's just get into the news. This is a timey wimey episode, but we do have some news. Matthew Lewis, Neville Longbottom, was on the Fantastic Beasts set and let us know that the Harry Potter world is in good hands with the adorably ginger and adorable, the adorably adorable ginger, Eddie Redmayne.
I mean, I'm going to just put on record that I just think he's all right. I just want to make sure nobody
what do you mean?
Thinks that that's the full stance for both halves of We Black.
It is.
It's not.
What do you mean? He's so cute.
I don't dislike him, but he's all right. He don't have any eyebrows. It's
weird. He doesn't, but it's okay. I mean, he does. His eyebrows are just red and ginger.
No, he doesn't have eyebrows.
Just delicious.
He needs to work on his eyebrow game. That's fine, though. That's neither here nor there. Like, I'm totally fine with him being new. I just want to put it on record that I'm not putting as much on it as Robin is. But yeah,
I mean,
not to say your feelings aren't valid. I just want to make sure that my feelings are also heard.
But your feelings are wrong.
Whatever. I feel like, was there? No, that was it. That's all the news. There's not really anything like happening until they come like drop a trailer. I don't know. Like, you know, I'm not really like, unless they like drop a trailer and or tell us some more cast members for The Cursed Child.
Yeah, chilling.
All right.
Let's hop on in to
episode 22 1/8. If you notice, our bonus episodes are all fractions, much like the platforms on King's Cross Station.
Yes. However, I want to say that I try to like add some fractions to that. We have a conversation about like, well, what should our fractions be? And I was like, oh, it could be, you know, 7/31st because of Harry Potter and Joe's birthday. And she was like, those fractions are too big.
They are. No, like seven. Like, okay, I give you said like 7/8. Okay. But you're going all the way into like 31st. Like, come on now. This is doing a lot, I feel like. I mean, we can have it. I mean, it's not a big deal. Like, If y'all decide that you like 7/31sts and or like, I don't know, 2/1, well, we can't do any that are like able, that can be simplified.
Yeah.
So.
But they have like, to have like
2/11ths. Like, I mean, 2/11ths is not that bad. 2/11. It's still weird. I don't know. Whatever. But it doesn't matter. It's like a weird brain thing. It's not even like a valid, like.
It's not because. Sorry. I mean, it is valid or whatever, but. Sorry. That was rude. It was so much ruder when it came out of my mouth.
It's not because.
It was so much ruder when it came out of my mouth, but in my brain, it wasn't that rude.
That's hella funny.
Because it was a meaningful number.
It's a meaningful number, but then, like, do you want to say 7/31st, like, all the time? 22 and 7/31st.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just weird. It's just, yeah, it's not a big deal. Okay. It's just weird.
Well, let's just dive into the episode.
Okay. Weasleys versus Malfoy. So we wanted to talk about this, mostly because of the last episode, where we get to see some, like, you know, we kind of get a little bit of the hint at, like, the differences between, like, the Weasleys and the Malfoys through Draco and Ron, like, in Sorcerer's Stone. But I think here it's where it kind of, like, comes to a head. And it comes up again, like, later on, but mostly here because this is when we, like, first meet Lucius Malfoy. And, like, we see the antagonism between Arthur and Lucius. And so we were just thinking, like, talking about this and then, like, talking about class, but then also blood status and how those two things intersect in the wizarding world.
Yeah, I think we also kind of just decided that the Malfoys and the Weasleys are just a really great stand-in for all of those things as well. So when you're mm-hmm. talking about the Malfoy family and the Weasley family, you're also talking about class and blood status and these greater issues in the wizarding world that are just very nicely, like, encompassed by these two kind of, I was about to say warring factions or warring families, but it felt very Shakespearean.
Like it's in, like, Divergent or some shit.
Oh, I go Shakespeare.
You have to Shakespeare. No, I get Shakespeare too, but I feel like, I don't know, I haven't read Shakespeare in a couple years, and I just saw Divergent, part of Divergent, like, actually it was like a couple months ago, and me and my sister were sitting there like, why? Actually, no, my brother was watching it over the holidays, I think, and because he had never seen it, and we were just like, dude, you don't want to do this to yourself, but he did.
Yeah, also,
we can get into my feelings about Divergent.
Yeah, because I have, that just is going to make me go off on a tangent about Shadowhunters, which, I mean, just stop, they're books. Leave it alone. It didn't work as a movie. It's not working as a TV show.
Right.
They're books. Just stop.
Sometimes it happens. Maybe we need to have a bonus episode about adaptations or something. Because I was just writing a post for Tuesday, which has been out at this point. When does this episode come out? It's been out for like some days now, but at this point, I just finished writing it. And I was, like, getting all my feelings about Order of the Phoenix. And I was like, let me not get so... I feel like anytime I bring up Order of the Phoenix, I just get pissed. So it just, like, keeps coming out.
Yeah.
It's like I find a new angle or, like, a new thing that they, like, left out. And I'm just like, yo, what is wrong with y'all? And so I just have
made new friends. Yay, new friends. but, like, I literally, like, just got back from hanging out with them to... Like, I was like, okay, I need to go tape because I am fucking up Bayana's day right now.
My whole week is fucked up, so.
Yeah, but I didn't want to, like, add to the fucking up of your day. So they saw my Harry Potter tattoo, and then they were like, what's your favorite book? And I was like, I waffle between Prisoner of Azkaban and Order of the Phoenix. And they were both like, Prisoner of Azkaban! But then I said, like, as I was talking, and then I was like, or Order of the Phoenix. And they were like, oh, yeah, yeah. So I think, like... Yeah. I wonder, too, I'm going to do a poll or something, because I'm like, is that a color of a POC thing? And when I say POC, what? I mean Potterheads of Color.
Hey,
I am a genius. Anyway.
But what do you mean is what a Potter... Sorry, we're going off on a tangent. We're just going to do it, and then we'll go back to what we meant to talk about. So what do you mean, like, a common theme?
Well, because when I talk to Potterheads... And I haven't, like, done this, like, scientifically, just, you know, full disclosure, I am in my brain, like, what? No. Yes. What?
Robin, I'm confused.
I'm so confused, too.
I'm confused. I was like, this sounds like an interesting thing, and now I'm like, I don't know where it's going. Okay, cool.
What I meant to say is, like, I just made this connection in my brain about an hour ago, so there's no fact. This is not fact-based. But the pot, when I ask, like, oh, you're a Potterhead or blah, 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 and I ask what your favorite book is, I always get Prisoner of Azkaban and Order of Phoenix from Potterheads of Color.
What do you get from white Potterheads?
I can't remember, and that's why I'm like, this may not be a thing.
Got it.
I may have made it into a thing, but I can't, I haven't, like, clocked that as an interesting thing until, like, an hour ago.
Okay.
So that's why I might have to, like, dive deeper and start really paying attention.
Well, what do you think the reasons are that, like, Potterheads, I mean, other than maybe it could just be, like, those are the superior books, and that's what it is, objectively and subjectively, but, like...
I think with, at least with Prisoner of Azkaban, for me, it brings into this whole thing about, like, not false imprisonment, but, like, being, like, the, unjust, justice system.
Right.
And,
Ooh, we got stuff to talk about next book. I'm excited.
Yeah, but, like, you know, like, the, I don't want to say corruption. It's, like, the inherent flaws in the justice system. The inherent,
sorry, really quick. So, like, you're just saying the flaws of the injustice system, right? And you know what the last name of a person who was unjustly incarcerated? Black. Drops mic.
Walks away. And this has been Wizard Team. We will see you next week. Yeah, but I think, like, so that comes into, and then Order of the Phoenix is very much about, like, this underground making of a movement or starting a movement that needs to be made without having, like, not being sanctioned by, like, the state, even though it's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like these people fighting for freedom and justice in, like, a way that is, they're getting... History has its eyes. You know what I mean? Like, they will be backed up by history, but in the moment,
right?
They're seen as radicals or start troublemakers or whatever, and that has a lot of resonance with, like, people that come from historically, like, marginalized groups of people. So, like, with African Americans, it's, you know, the civil rights movement or slavery or Black Lives Matter, but with, you know, Hispanic Americans?
There's
Latinos. No? Latinos? Yeah. And Latinas. There is a lot of, like, you know, economic injustice, working for, you know, immigration, but also having their movements be silenced in terms of, you know, I don't know. It's just like there are a lot of marginalized people that end up having to have movements for justice, and those in the moment are never seen as the right thing to do. They're always seen as radicals. They're always seen as whatever. That's just the way that the world works, right? You have Martin Luther King, who started off as being a radical, and then he was, like, the least radical of the radicals, so then he was palatable. But then he was like, actually, we need to talk about class, y'all, and then he was dead. In the face. Bye. And now he's Santa Claus. And so, mm-hmm. like, and in his Santa Clausification, his entire part, the latter part of his life where he's like, we need to talk about class, has been erased.
Right.
Except for those who, like, actively talk about it.
Right.
And that's just what happens. And, like, that's, you know... So that's why I was wondering if it was a thing.
Maybe. Sounds legit, but, like, yeah.
Like I said, I just thought of it an hour ago, so it could be utter bullshit, and it could just be that they're the superior books and everyone loves them because that's where, like, the plot, you know. Anywho, it's 14 minutes in.
That's actually fine because, like, we didn't have any news, basically. We're actually doing pretty well. Look at us.
Yeah. Look at us.
Pat on the back. Okay, so let's, like, actually go into Weasleys versus Malfoys. We, like, started to talk about it and then did not.
So we're going to start with, like, we've kind of broken the discussion up into class and then blood status and all of these things. But I think it's okay if we
zigzag I think they should. I think the point is that they are, it's just bullet points don't make consideration for intersectionality, but that's cool.
Yeah. Just like Julie Delpy, boom. Or Charlotte Rampling, boom. Or Patricia Arquette, boom, boom. Sorry, this whole like or black like women not existing.
Hashtag white feminism in general, but yeah.
TM. Okay.
Okay. And like anyone else who may have said anything from when we recorded to when this came out.
I'm sure somebody else
is going to say some shit. So.
Really?
You too.
But can you make sure that if you're going to say some shit, I don't love your movies? Because, like, come on. Come on!
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to, like, talk about the class thing in terms of... I want to start talking about the differences in class with the Weasleys and the Malfoys in terms of Lucius and Arthur. Mm-hmm. Because I think we've kind of gone into... a good amount of, like, how, you know, the amount of money that the Weasleys have makes Ron feel inferior and comes out in all these different problematic ways. Mm-hmm. And, he hasn't been pit against Draco that much in terms of class, except for the fact that Draco uses it as an easy put down, you know, like, hand-me-down clothes, you must be a Weasley.
Right.
And it also, to me, just kind of makes sense that a 12-year-old would be up in his feelings about that kind of stuff. It's very, it makes sense. You know, you want to keep up with the Jones or whatever. You want to have the coolest shit and you want to have, like, the nice broom.
Right.
What I thought was interesting was in chapter 2 or 3, when they're at Diagon Alley, Flourish and Blotts.
Chapter 4.
That Arthur shows a propensity to be like, oh, you don't think I can handle Lucius to Molly, you know, like it comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And when the catalyst for the fight is that Lucius says, if you're going to be a disgrace to the name of wizard, they may as well pay you for it.
Or
he says something like that when they
say
start...
that. He says that in the movie for sure.
He says something like that in the book. I can pull it up.
Oh, yeah.
What's the use of being a disgrace to the name wizard if they don't pay you?
Yeah. But the fight was actually when he... So this is the thing. The fight is when he talks about Mr. and Mrs. Granger.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why it's interesting. So, like, that's why it's so, like, connected is, like, for like, Ron and Draco, it's about, like, oh, we have, like, I have more money than you, and you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Ron being like, well, we don't have any money, and, like, feeling a way about that. But for Arthur, like, I feel like Arthur is, and, like, Molly, too, they're both very secure in, like, where they're at, and, like, things could be better, but I don't think that they're, like, necessarily self-conscious about that. And, like, mm-hmm. Lucius, obviously, like, right, like you said before, like, he throws it in their face because he cares, you know what I mean? Like, he's one of those people when you, like, don't like someone, but they, like, are constantly in your face because, like, it's, like, some people, when you don't like them, or when they don't like you, they're just, like, always in your face trying to, like, but are you mad about this? Why are you mad? Why are you mad? And it's, like, dude, like, you gotta calm down. You're projecting hella much. So it's, like, that kind of, like, he feels more superior because he has money, whereas, like, Arthur's like, I'm doing what I love. I'm protecting, like, people who I feel are valuable. And I feel like the thing between the Weasleys and the Malfoys are much, not even more about blood status, but it's definitely, like we were saying, like, it intersects because while they're both, like, pure blood, in quotes, pure blood wizards, it's not like... Like, one is, like, embraces that fully, mm-hmm. and then the other kind of, like, rejects that notion at all. Like, it says in the, like, Pottermore, there's, like, an article about purebloods. And so, in the 1930s, there's, like, actually, this pureblood article is, like, really tight. Like, I'll share it later. It has a lot of, like, parallels to things like the construction of race. And so just, like, there's like, a parallel to, like, the ways that, like, muggle-born, like, that concept of being a muggle or a muggle-born is created, and then also, like, the political things that, like, feed into that. So, like, the wizards being, like, persecuted by muggles and then having to go into hiding, and so all of that becomes to this thing, like, oh, we're better than muggles. And so they're just creating all this stuff, and it's like, here's how you classify purebloods, and it's, like, all this, like, arbitrary bullshit that makes, that's, like, super random. Like, oh, you have to be afraid of pigs. Like, what? That doesn't make any sense. So it's, like, a very, it's very similar, and I'm sure Joe had to have, like, read up on some kind of, like, I mean, I guess because this is, like, specifically connected to, like, Nazism and, like, Hitler and stuff, so I'm sure she looked, she was more researching that than, like, I don't know, just from all the, like, critical race theory classes I've taken, just, like, that's pretty much, like, the construction of how, of race and how it's, like, really arbitrary and it's used for the gain of, like, the people in power. And it's, like, so it has, like, real life, obviously it has real life implications, like, obviously we're living it now with, like, all of our things, but it's very much, is made up, and there are, like, systems that are created around it to sustain it, but it's made up, but really quick.
But that goes into, sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that goes into the fact that, like, this is based off of, like, Nazism, because Nazism actually, it was racism.
Oh, yeah,
and
totally.
It was just a way, and now it's, like, Jewish people are, it's not a race anymore, it's just a religion or whatever, but, like, that's how it became, like, people were saying, like, with Muslims, it's whatever. It was, like, you see now, like, what are the Kardashians, they're, like,
Armenian or something,
and now Armenian is just white, but...
Yeah, well, you know, like, I mean, whiteness is, like, in. A whole other, like...
Yeah, you know what I mean? Thing. Like, Irish used to not be white, exactly. You know? You used to just be, you were Irish, and exactly. Now, you know what I mean? So I think...
I mean, that's a whole, like, other history. I mean, I wasn't even talking about that, which is, like, true, and, like...
Yeah, but I just think when you go into it, when you go into the whole it's made up thing, it, like, there are, it's, like, look at how many people have now been folded into whiteness.
Exactly, and that's a very similar thing to the wizards, because, like, it says earlier on, we're just gonna, like, I'll get to my original point later, but it says earlier on that, let me find it.
It's towards the bottom, when a minority of the families, when they were listed in the...
No. That's not what I was gonna say. I was gonna say that... So, muggle wizard marriage had been common for centuries, so those now self-describing as purebloods were unlikely to have any higher proportion of wizarding ancestors than those who did not. To call oneself a pureblood was more accurately a declaration of political or social intent than a statement of biological fact. So that's, like, what we're talking about, is, like, they just decide, okay, we're purebloods because we say so and because we are no longer going to marry a muggle. And we consider muggle wizard marriage reprehensible. Like, you know what I mean? So it's not even, like, actual biology, which is the same with, like, whiteness. Like, you...
Exactly.
And, like, any race, really. It's, like, there's no real, like, pure... What does that even mean? You know what I mean? But in the early 90s... So it's just interesting, like, reading this article particularly. There's a lot of parallels between, like, Nazism, like, racism in general. Like, if you can look up, like, how... race was even created, it was just, like, some white dudes who decided, like, these are the five races, and this is what they are, and these are their, like, characteristics, despite us never having seen them before. Like, Notes on the State of Virginia by Thomas Jefferson has this whole last thing, it's horrible, but it has this whole last thing on, like, Native Americans and, like, black people, and, like, what, you know, like, what they're, like, prone to do, and, like, what they look, all this stuff, and it's, like, based off of here's, it's so crazy, it's, like, based off of things that he heard from someone else, who observed, like, this is in quotes, observed them and, like, was around them, and then, like, from a couple things that he saw, but it was, like, totally made up. Like, there's no sources whatsoever. Like, he didn't actually, like, talk to any of these people. He just was like, oh, based on some stuff I've heard about, you know, from my second cousin's best friend from, like, Pookie down the street, this is what I heard about those those Native Americans, those black people, and, like, they're suited towards this because I say so, and not because I found some, like, peer review thing. Like, it's crazy. Anyway, so all of this
David builds... Diggs is amazing, though.
Huh?
All of that to say David Diggs is amazing.
Okay.
I mean... I feel compelled. This is the problem with Hamilton.
Why do you feel compelled to say that? Because it's not the same.
I feel compelled to separate
I didn't even think about Hamilton from Thomas Jefferson.
I actually went on a Twitter rant about it a while ago because I was like, I feel sympathy. It's the whole conflation of Severus Snape thing.
I don't think anyone is conflating because... a black man from, like, the Bay with Thomas Jefferson, despite him playing Thomas Jefferson. Like, and he's not even supposed to be a good character in Hamilton. Like, he's not, like...
But David is, like, Alan Rickman.
No.
And Thomas Jefferson is Snape.
I don't think it's on that level at all. I don't think if my dad talked Thomas Jefferson, somebody's going to think, oh, my God, David. Like, no.
Anyway. No, I find myself trying to, I said, this was me. I said, I personally, I find myself trying to like make excuses for Thomas Jefferson. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, you need to get over
it. No, really cannot do that because, but David is amazing.
You got it. That's, you talking about the conflation. That's all you. You're acting like people in general conflate David Diggs.
There might Thomas be. Jefferson.
I doubt it. I think it's just you. And you got to get not over be that.
Alone in this.
You need to do some work. And like, look within yourself and just deal with that. Anyway, so basically I say all that to say that like all of these like ideas of like, cause so the International Statute of Secrecy like came out in 1692. So that's like around, you know, like the Salem witch trials and like, I mean, that's only in America, but like similar things in the UK. And so it's like all of these, and it was kind of like a backlash to that, to feeling powerless mm-hmm. and being like, okay. So it's an interesting thing, which is another thing we can talk about later, is like the power between like muggles and wizards. I think like there was something I think you posted on Twitter about like the, there were like things you might not know about Harry Potter, and it was actually like a good list for once. So like one where it said that there were 3,000, only 3,000 witches and wizards living in the UK. So mm-hmm. like power, like numbers wise, which one, I will say that's less than the total student body of my high school, which is like, yeah. So Hogwarts can't be as big as, it's probably just as big as we think it is. Cause how,
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't make sense. Anyway, in terms of like numbers, like muggles have that power, but in terms of magic, again, like the wizards have the power. So it's just like a backlash for that, but it becomes all this like bigotry and shit. And so it mm-hmm. feeds into the early 1930s when a pureblood directory was published anonymously in Britain. And it lists
Cantankerous did that by, shit.
Yep, Cantankerous not, man. This bruh.
So he lives up to his name for show.
He does. Cantankerous. So it lists 28 truly pure blood families as judged by the unknown authority who had written it.
Cantankerous.
with the aim of helping such families maintain the purity of their bloodlines. So again, it's just like, these things are totally arbitrary. This dude just decided here are the 28 names. And I think, I don't have it pulled up right now, but like in the Potter family thing on Pottermore, it was saying that like, there was like a specific reason that they weren't added. It was like, just, you know what I mean? Like it wasn't, it's fine. Cause it's like a long article, but from what I remember, it was, I don't know. They like did some shit. And so Cantankerous was just like, you don't get to be on here. So, you know what I mean? So it's like it's super arbitrary. Cause it's like, I'm just going to decide who gets to be on this list. And then that's what becomes pureblood. And I mean, like, you know, over 1930s, that's like 60 years before Harry Potter starts. So maybe like, so that's like maybe three generations for people to be like, to be pureblood. So even then, like the Malfoys got, especially the Malfoys, because you look in their thing and they were like fraternizing with all the muggles before the Statute of Secrecy. Like that was like,
thing. Well, and they
didn't marry muggles after the Statute of Secrecy went out, then they like stopped altogether. But before that, like one of their, one of their ancestors was like a suitor of the queen and like, mm-hmm. and then was salty cause he was super sexist and like jinxed her because she didn't want to get with him. So that's a whole other thing, but whatever. So it's just like, it's so much more complicated than just bloods, you know what I mean? Blood status is so arbitrary, but then like it's tied with class. It's, the other thing is like the Malfoys have so much money because they were with muggle, like they have muggle money and it just got passed down as wealth, and it probably got like exchanged for wizard money. But like the way that they got so rich is through like, you know, investing and like doing things that
in the muggle world.
Yeah. And so it's just like,
Yeah, and you kind of have to know that they still have money in the Muggle world. Because, like, you can't... if there are 3,000 wizards, you cannot have a manor house and have all of these... I mean, you might be able to... Well, I mean, my thing is,
like, at this point, it's been, like, hundreds and hundreds of years. So that's a lot of wealth that's been built up.
Built up, yeah.
So they don't necessarily have to now. They might still have some, like, holdings somewhere that they just kind of, like... You know what I mean? Like, they just, like, keep stuff invested. But, like, it's not... They don't necessarily have to, I don't think, at this point.
But I think maybe at a certain point, if you want to continue, if you're going to continue with, like, the lineage type of argument, mm-hmm. then you can't just say, okay, we have built up enough wealth, and now we're just spending it in the wizarding world. And, you know, like, they still have to be bringing money in. Like, or their money has to be making money. And I don't know, they don't talk about, like, Gringotts in, like, terms of... Do you accrue interest or, right. you know, like, they don't want to talk about, like, how the wizarding banking works in that way. But to have your money continue to make money, it needs to be, it inevitably is going to have something to do with Muggles since there's only 3,000 wizards.
Well, it's only 3,000 wizards in the UK. There's still, like, hella other wizards, like,
yes,
in
other
places. So it could just be that, like...
So maybe they diversify like between
stuff and like I don't really know what Lucius does like.
But no, I know, and this is all conjecture, right? But it just like to me, it's like okay, it's like when you try to have like these divest movements. Like I tried to like at one point, I think I was like, let's see how little bit of money I can give to the Koch brothers. So let me see everything that they own, and I was like, basically. I can't not give money to the Koch brothers because I can't even figure out how much of what they own. You know what I mean? Like, they own, like, paper goods, but then they own every... So it's like, okay, well, what brand of toilet paper do I need to buy so I'm not giving the Koch brothers money? Right. But then you find out, like, it's like, you find out things like, there actually isn't a difference between, like, the Kirkland Costco paper, like, toilet paper and... what is the toilet paper brand? I don't know, like Kleenex or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not right, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And because they're actually made in the same factories and then some arbitrarily get a Costco label on them and some arbitrarily get like Kleenex or whatever the name brand is. And it's all, so you can't actually like, it gets very hard to divest your money from a cause that is not like, I'm gonna, you know, like McDonald's or whatever, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
But it's like McDonald's owns Chipotle, owns whatever, you know, like the layers that go into that. So it's the same thing, I think.
Or like Disney.
Exactly. Like there's like four media companies. So it's like try, you know, to like not consume something that makes them money in some form or fashion. Mm-hmm. Like it gets very difficult. And so I say all of that to say, at a certain point, the Malfoys, no matter how, like, strong their beliefs are probably not going to do the work of, like, divesting all of their money from anything that touches Muggle hands. It just becomes impossible. It's not a completely separate, closed-off society.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
I guess... So back to the Weasleys, kind of, because we've mostly been talking about the Malfoys, but like...
Yeah. Well, the Weasleys, so when we go back to the Sacred 28,
right.
The Weasleys get... you can see kind of when that book comes out, the Weasleys get a separation from the Malfoys. And I went on the Pottermore article and I found on the Potter family... Potter is not an uncommon Muggle surname, and for that fact alone, they didn't make the list, because
it was like
the anonymous compiler of that supposed definitive list suspected that they had sprung from what he considered to be tainted blood, he's cantankerous, and they all have sprung from this tainted blood, right? But... he
Y'all
feels like their name
before
is...
you betrayed, and... It's just like a really salty ex-boyfriend, to be honest.
It really is. But
oh, you don't want me? All right, then.
I'm gonna put
like,
this
fuck
there.
You
yeah,
and
but...
all of your descendants. Like, damn. Okay. I mean, obviously, it's, like, more intense than that, but still.
And so the Potter is descended from a wizard who was eccentric and was nicknamed the Potterer, which became corrupted into Potter because he had all these medicinal pots and, you know, he was, like, making all this, you know, the Potters come from a line of, like, let's make some shit, make your hair straight and your skin smooth and whatever. So that's where that name actually comes from. So it does actually come from a magical wizard background.
Exactly.
But
you know, Cantankerous didn't know
that.
He was just throwing names together, to be honest.
He literally was, and he was just like, if he was gonna do any actual, like, historical research, he would have found that out and, you know, whatever. But
you know, they never do.
They only want to serve their point, and they don't want to have to, like, insert any nuance, because, you know, people ain't gonna read.
What is nuance?
Yeah, so the same way that the Potters are left off because of how common their surname is, the Weasleys get tainted or get portrayed as blood traitors because after this list comes out, the Weasleys are very proud of the Muggles in their family, or their family history with Muggles, and they start to loudly dissent. And they say only a minority of these families publicly deplored their inclusion on the list, but the Weasleys were the most vocally indignant, and it was numerous. So the numerous Weasley family, because there's so many of them.
Exactly.
They have connections, in spite of having connections with almost every old wizarding family in Britain, they were proud of their ties to many interesting Muggles. And that, like, kind of also, and I like to think that they maybe have some familial connection with the guy from the Scottish rugby team, whose name escapes me, the Squib, but like that shows up in Arthur a lot, because it's like he thinks that Muggles are ingenious, you know, and like as opposed to being like other wizarding families, like the Malfoys, who are like, how do you get along without magic, and this seems so, like, difficult for no reason. Arthur takes the opposite view of, like, look at how...
I mean, not even difficult, like, just, like, unnecessary and, like, disgusting and, like...
Yeah.
Beneath them.
Like, ugh, you actually, like, wash your own clothes and you don't have a spell to do that, you know, or whatever. But Arthur takes the opposite...
Or a house elf.
Or a house elf. Let's let that sit for a little bit. And I wish this is, like, the times when this actually should be recorded, because the side eye that Bayana gave... We're not even in the same room, and I'm uncomfortable. I'm like, I don't even own a house elf. Why do I feel so bad and guilty? Shit.
It's that non-house elf privilege, the non-house elf guilt.
Yeah. Arthur takes the opposite approach of, like, Lucius in that sense of appreciating and being in awe of what Muggles are able to do despite their limitations, or are because of their limitations. Mm-hmm. What is that?
My little paper thing.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
So that really changes. And that's really a small shift in perspective, but how different that makes these two families, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just like, yeah, and then it, you know, introduces that, like, concept of the blood traitor, which is, like, similar to race traitor and, like, all, you know, it's the same thing that happens. It's, like, when you stand up for people who don't have the same power as you, and, like, you don't subscribe to... And the thing is like, again, like, I don't even know if we're even talking about class at this point, because we just kind of, like, went off into, like, this is more, like, race-ish, but, like...
I mean, it's status, right?
It's status, exactly. And they intersect, but it's just like...
Yeah.
Well, one, I'm sure that they're poor in part because a lot of these, like, families didn't want to, like, deal with them anymore.
And do business with them.
In addition to, like, Arthur, you know, just doing what he loves and not really caring about money like that.
But that also goes into, like, the, what we value, right? So, and it's only really in, like, America that teachers get paid shit, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you see a teacher in, like, Scandinavia and, like, Scandinavian politics or whatever, or Scandinavian society, teachers are regarded, and so they get paid accordingly, right? And it's like, if you think about all the stuff that you have to do to become a teacher, and then look at your the average salaries of that, the only thing is that we don't value it. Mm-hmm. We don't place value on, and because of the way our school system is set up and stuff, like, they're getting, like, all teacher salaries are basically a percentage of tax money. But, like, how much of our money how big of a percentage of our tax money goes to, like, the military?
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, people are like, well, I don't want to raise my taxes. Like, you don't even have to have your taxes raised.
You just have them allocated differently.
Allocate it differently to better reflect your priorities. Unless what we're saying is that we don't value what a teacher does, right? So there's no reason why the only reason why the misuse of Muggle artifacts position gets paid what it does is because it's not valued,
right? Which, and I mean, that's stems the thing from with the ministry.
The same thing.
Like, there's a thing with the ministry is like, I think even in what book is that? Shoot! It's Order of the Phoenix through Deathly Hallows, one of them. I just can't. It could even be Prison. I don't even know.
It doesn't matter.
It could
series.
Be this one. It could be Chamber Secret.
In some portion of the series.
It's going to bother me because I'm like,
I know it is. I'm trying to move you along.
There's like this whole thing where, like, I think Ron or one of the Weasleys tells Harry, like, that part of the reason Arthur doesn't get paid as much is because Fudge thinks that he's weird for, like, loving Muggles as much as he does. You know what I mean? Or, like, trying to protect them as much as he does. So it's like, even though, like, the pure blood, like, mania is not as, like, obviously Malfoy is, the Malfoys are painted and, like, the Blacks are painted as, like, reprehensible characters. Like, you don't want to be like them. But mm-hmm. it's not like their ideologies haven't seeped into the systems. So it's like, again, like,
they
racism,
extreme,
it's like the
extreme,
like, interpersonal, like, racism versus the systemic, where it's like people sort of believe these things but don't, like, say it out loud, or they don't, like,
well, it's not even,
or
like,
they, or not even like they don't say it out loud, but it's like embedded within their, like, psyche, but they don't realize
acknowledge it.
Or they do, but, like, it's not as, like,
well, because,
which is, like,
because
why
you
people
have these...
like, which is why people like Dolores Umbridge can even thrive in the ministry, because she has all these issues. She has all of these, like, beliefs. And it's not even hard to believe that she would have those beliefs. Like, in Order of the Phoenix, her, like, bigotry doesn't fully come out until the end. Like, it's hinted at, but it doesn't fully come out at the end with the centaurs. And I think there might be something else that she says.
Well, it's Hagrid. Like,
with Hagrid. So it's
there's all these microaggressions with Hagrid. Exactly. And then when she's confronted with the centaurs, you see, like, oh, she's got issues.
She had that whole, like, anti-werewolf campaign. So, like, Remus hates her. So, like, if Remus hates you, bro, like, you really got to reevaluate your life. But,
it's these.
So it's, like, all these, like, little things that are hinted at. And then at the end, it kind of, like, blows up and you, like, see, like, nah, she's, like, a bit, like, and it's, like, not a reach at all that two books later we see her, like, heading the Muggle-born registration committee, and she's, like, going, you know what I mean? It's, like, she loves that. As someone who is a half-blood with a Muggle mother and a Squib brother, like, she's totally, like,
she's all about it.
So it's, like, but, I mean, again, like, yeah, it's just, like, the systemic part of it is what's really interesting when you then bring in the Weasleys and the Malfoys, and how, like, Malfoy doesn't have, like, a ministry job, but he gets more, like, FaceTime with the minister than Arthur does.
Yeah. Well, there's also this thing where, just piggybacking off of what you said about this, like, systemic and then the extreme, is that there's this middle ground, and you're allowed to have this, or it's not middle ground or whatever. You're allowed to hold these views because you can point to the Malfoys or the Blacks and say, well, I'm not that, which is what we see a lot in racism. I think blood status is racism.
It is. The language is, like, the same.
Exactly. And it doesn't matter. Like, we're talking, you know, class is, you know, this one thing, but your blood status also has, like, a lot to do with your class.
I mean, and we also see things like the Gaunts, who are also on that list, and they're direct descendants of Salazar Slytherin, and they are, like, dirt poor. But what they care about the most is their blood status and the fact that they have never married a Muggle, to the detriment of, like, their family. And, you know, but at the same time, they still have these family heirlooms that date them back to Salazar Slytherin. Like, that's what they care about.
Yeah, but you could, so you could have, and the thing is with, the reason why you're allowed to have an Umbridge, is because actually what Umbridge does is not okay. It's never okay. Not that you said that it was, but, like, they're able to say, well, actually, this is fine. Holding these beliefs are fine because I'm not this extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, actually, no. Any being on that spectrum at any point is not okay.
Right.
Right. So you need to, actively legislate against any part of you, any internal feelings on that blood status spectrum.
Yeah.
So it should just be, you show magical ability, so you are entitled to have these rights. Right. Which is the same thing as, like you're human, you're entitled to these rights, right?
Exactly.
So if you are a wizard, it doesn't matter how you're, like, how you got that way. It doesn't matter what the makeup of your family is. Mm-hmm. Then you are entitled to these rights. And if you have an affliction or, like, because, you know, Remus doesn't ask to be a werewolf the same way that Hagrid never asked for his mom and dad to get it on, which how...
How?
But you ain't got the answers, Joe.
That Kanye meme where it's just him looking like he's just angry. How? Hagrid, how? How does that work?
You ain't got the answers.
No sense. We need these answers, Joe, because I'm...
We do. I mean, you know. These and the house elves.
Yeah, but the Hagrid one, man, that's just like...
How?
How does that work? Especially how? When we go to Order of the Phoenix and we see, like, how the giants are. How does that work? Like, my brain does not comprehend how that even became, like, a thing.
Not at all. And I kind of feel, nope, not doing it. I'm not. It's the way that, like, when you were doing about Percy at the Burrow. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, we'll just move on.
Any of that, any of the blood status, anything besides you are a wizard, therefore you're entitled to this, is wrong. In blood status conversation,
right?
Back to the Malfoys and Weasleys and class. You want to hit on the class, the money part?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like we've talked about it a lot. Just the fact that, like, I mean, we've talked about it a lot in between... getting all into blood status. But I don't know. I mean, you know, obviously there's no, like, Weasley family thing on Pottermore yet, although we get, like, a good amount in the books, but, like, not necessarily, like, where the, you know, like, their whole entire, like, familial, like, line, and, like, where, like, maybe they had money at some point, maybe they didn't, or maybe they just were always, like, chilling at the Burrow. But I think the thing with the Weasleys is that the class, I feel like, shows up mostly in, like, Malfoy being an asshole, like, or Lucius Malfoy being an asshole, and then also between Draco and Ron. You know what I mean? I mean, like, we see a lot, like, especially in the last couple chapters of Chamber of Secrets, where, like, the Weasleys have to take money into consideration, and you know what I mean? Like, they don't have a lot of it. They have all these kids that they have to, like, provide for, and so... they're worried about, you know, not being able to make ends meet. But at the same time, that's not the most important thing to them. Like, the most important thing is that they're good people. And that, like, they're doing what they love and that they're, like, you know what I mean? It's love. It's, like, being able to care for each other and to, like, provide for each other as opposed to it being, like, oh, we don't have money, so we're, like, not valuable. Like, they find value in each other without money being a factor. And so while Ron is insecure about the fact that he doesn't have money, and that's, like, totally justified, but I think that eventually that kind of, like, his, like, the teaching of his, like, you know what I mean? Like, his parents, the way he was raised, wins out. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, he has no problem marrying a Muggle-born, he totally, like, has, like, tries to hex Malfoy later on in the book in a couple chapters, for, like, being a bigoted asshole.
Douche to his boo.
Like, so, it's just,
his
like...
His future boo, because they're not his future yeah. boo thing.
They fight a lot in these first couple books. Yeah. But, yeah, it's just, like... And I feel like even if they weren't friends, he would have said something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, well, even to get to a smaller character, Alicia Spinnett, I think, is the one that is like, how dare you?
Yeah.
When it, you know, when it comes to the Malfoy's use of that word.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Ron takes it to the next level with the hex, but...
it's like, yeah.
It's not just... it's not just because he's a Weasley and he's a Malfoy. It is, like, there is genuine, like, disgust about that, holding those views.
Right.
I think, though, when it comes to class, and you see it more with the Malfoys, like, you can look at the Pottermore thing, mm-hmm. like, family account of them, and, like, you know, like, they fervently oppose the imposition of the statute because they have to withdraw from these highborn Muggle circles. And it exactly. says, like, they always drew a sharp distinction between poor Muggles and those with wealth and authority. And it carries over into the, into blood status or whatever, that, like, we don't see this. There isn't, like, any exact, like, place where this happens, but at least to me, it seems very plausible that Lucius treats richer half-blood Muggle-born wizards better than he treats the Malfoys because of just class.
Like, he's, or like, he might treat them bad, or he might talk bad to their, like,
behind their back, but he's,
he wouldn't
more
say it to his face because he's yeah, like, I'm gonna get this money.
Exactly, and, like, he's able to, like, be in these... This is when he talks to Draco about how it's not prudent to be mm-hmm. anti-Harry Potter in public.
I mean, like, the Malfoys are adaptable.
Exactly.
Like, they're they're bigoted, you know what I mean? But they're able to go with the flow. They're like, it's not good to talk about. I mean, you know, Draco still has to learn this because he spent most of his life in the Malfoy Manor where you can just say whatever you want.
Yeah.
And so now he's going out into the world and he has to learn that, like, you have to kind of... temper. I don't want to say code switch because that just, like...
But that's what it is. That's what it is.
And so, yeah, so it's like while the Malfoys are, like, you know, later on we see, like, they're like... what's the word, like, complicated a bit more, and there's some more sympathy for them, like, at the end of the day, they're, like, still, like, a bigoted family, like,
yeah.
there's still, like, sexism, there's racism, there's, like, it's not like they don't believe the things that Voldemort was putting out there, they just, at a certain point, were like, okay, I believe in my family more than that, or, like,
yeah,
I want to make sure I don't go to Azkaban before, you know what I mean, like, mm-hmm. but it's not that they don't believe those things, so, yeah, it's just, like, class definitely is important. Like, the first point is that they were noble English families.
Yeah.
They were, like, just, like, regular noble English families. Like, they have that same kind of history.
So, yeah, I think that a lot of these issues, class, blood status, the Malfoys versus, they all intersect in this way of... very parallel to just life in general. Obviously, that's, like, all this is a big parallel to Nazism and racism and all of these things. But the Malfoys take these things to have a significance on and place an emphasis on what it means to be a noble family and a good family. And the Weasleys take those things, class and blood status and everything, as they're just facts about a person or the facts that happen to, you know, you, it's your high class, middle class, low class. That sounds weird.
Low class.
Upper class, yeah. upper class, middle class,
and
lower yeah. class. And that doesn't have anything to say about you. And you are pure blood, half blood, muggle born. And that doesn't say anything about you. It just happens to be a fact. Mm-hmm. Like, it just happens. I just happen to be tall with bad eyesight. And it doesn't matter that that has nothing to do with my person. I mean, it has a little bit to do with my personality, but it informs who I am, but it's not who I
exactly.
am. And it has nothing to do with my worth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that is the main difference between these two families and then the offshoots of the people that think that way.
Yeah.
And all of that to say, you can also believe some of those things and others of those things. And like Dolores Umbridge, be a terrible person, but not a Death Eater.
Right.
Or like Sirius, be a good person, but be problematic to creature.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't.
There's nuance.
Having, there's like, nuance it's a complicated, to all of...
like, thing. Which is important, because that's how people are, and, like, yeah.
Yeah, people so we can,
their
we can...
shit together, but... but that's how they but, are.
But that's how they... But we're complicated, and we contain multitudes, and that is important to say that, because as we're wrapping up here, we can continue to go on and on and talk about these things, and they're interesting and important things to talk about, but nothing that we will say will end in, okay, that means that if you are pure blood, you are shit. Like,
right.
It will never be black and white closed off like that. Like, it is always comes down to the individual and how the individual takes those lessons and how they apply them into the greater world.
Exactly.
So, thank you guys so much for listening to episode 22 and 1/8.
Do we have a MVP or bench or anything?
Yeah, I would say my MVP are the Weasleys. As a family.
Yeah.
They take all of these lessons and they, these life lessons that they're taught, and even Weasleys like Percy, who let these issues of power and blood status and class cloud their minds for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
they all end up on the side of it doesn't matter where you come from. It matters what you do as a person.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
I'm benching the Order of the Phoenix movies or movie because
sorry, I'm watching her earlier. I'm watching her type F. I was confused.
Talking about it earlier, and it was pissing me off, and so I'm just gonna bench that whole ass movie.
That was so funny. I'm sorry. I just have
that
to.
That movie does not understand nuance, and I'm just gonna leave it. Just gonna talk. Leave it at that.
Oh God. She's like, as she's typing, she's like, "Order of the Phoenix." And I'm like, "How dare you bench the Order of the Phoenix and then spit movie?" And I'm like, "Chillless."
Nope.
Lacking in chill.
Pretty much.
I am going to bench Dolores Umbridge because...
That's real.
I mean, we don't talk about her too much in here, but she... It's literally...
How can you be worse than Voldemort and not be the main antagonist? How does that work?
You take all of these lessons and in every step you do the wrong thing. Houseway, how did you get to be you?
There's actually, maybe we should talk
about Muggle-born mama squib brother, but you're still like, yeah, fuck all no, y'all, I'm in the, horrible. I'm lead the registry.
Her whole, like, thing, we're gonna have to talk about her, like, I mean,
in depth,
and I mean, like, I don't know that we'll need a bonus episode, but her background is on Pottermore, so,
yeah, I would definitely suggest
you
guys,
like, to
dive
deep into the, like,
twisted, fucked up mind. and the fact that she is based off of someone in Joe's life, like that lady, woman.
Well,
person.
No, I don't think she was really like that. I think that it was like based off of. I think it was more like the. From what I read, it was like more the pink and the cats and shit.
Oh
and
yeah, like she like the, presented very sweet,
yeah,
but was very
but was
sour.
Like, but
yeah.
She was like, I didn't really mess with her. But I don't know that she was straight up like Dolores Umbridge.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
There are Dolores. I know of a couple of like at least one of Dolores Umbridge, and so.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to have to let go because I'm going to need to know who this person is.
Okay.
We're going to...
yeah, well...
I'm going to, like, yeah.
Yeah. Wednesday, Wednesday, we will resume our regular schedule. It's so weird because there's this is so many times. This is like, what? This is the third of the four episodes we're recording, like, hella early.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyway.
We don't need to talk about it.
Sorry. I have a lot of things. My whole life is like.
Okay.
I got sick and then my life.
We're not even being friends right now, as you keep saying these things.
What? I'm just going to be in San Francisco next weekend. I'm not going to be like.
We're not even being friends.
Why?
Because of why you're going to be in San Francisco.
You just got to let me live my life. I don't know why you got to be all salty.
Oh, because you're. Just let me do me. Abandoning me.
Okay.
But whatever.
Anyway, I am.
Enjoy Blizzard Jacob.
Except I don't think that's in the Midwest.
It's Jonas.
It's Jonas, but I also don't think it's in the Midwest.
So. It's not. It's in the East. And also, if you are enjoying Blizzard Jonas or not enjoying Blizzard Jonas, please be safe.
And
if you're,
is it even?
And if you're Connie, if you're ConStar24, get your ass in the house. What did I say?
What's so funny?
What are you doing?
What's hilarious about this is like weeks later.
It is. It really is.
Maybe like a week, actually, because this goes out a week from today. So yeah, it's like. A week later, she might be in the house. Like
she better be in the house.
About? It's not even snowing.
She's gonna be like out. Like it's gonna be sunny. She's like doing her shopping with her like headphones on. Like what? Right. What happened?
Anyway,
but I said
we'll see you on, or you'll hear us on Wednesday when we discuss Chapter 5 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, The Whomping Willow.
Make sure to read and follow along. Join the conversation on Twitter at WeBlackAndNerds, hashtag WizardTeam. Check out our website, blackgirlsnerdout.com. We are on Twitter again at WeBlackAndNerds, hashtag WizardTeam, at Yana_Hallows. That's Yana underscore Hallows, like deathly. And I am at Robin_Ravenclaw. That's Robyn underscore Ravenclaw, like not Hufflepuff.
Like what Ron isn't.
Like what Harry. Ron, what or Harry like, is not.
Yeah. Or Hagrid, what, or like a lot of these people.
A lot of these people.
Do not have what, common sense. Oh my gosh. The next chapter is like full of not Ravenclaw like things that go down.
What Gilderoy is but should not be.
True. That is correct. Yeah, thank you for listening to our...
Yeah.
Slightly insightful conversation, but mostly lots of tangents that led to me benching a movie
that we weren't even talking about.
Totally fine. I'm cool with the choice, though. I'm totally like, I sense. Don't regret it at all. So, yeah.
I cannot wait until we get to the live tweet of that movie.
Dude, like, it's so long, but I already know, like, I've been holding on. Like, by that point, I'm gonna have been holding on to this, like, anger
feelings.
All these feelings for like 2-3 years I mean, I'm a little bit more like, we were talking about Prisoner of Azkaban, that movie. Mm-hmm. At least we'll get to that we start Prisoner of Azkaban in like May, so we might like towards the end of the year we'll get to the movie, and so mm-hmm. that's a little bit less time. Like, I have some months before I have my rant about He Who Must Not Be Named, who is not Voldemort. But 2 or 3 years before I get to Order of the Phoenix? I don't know, man. I might explode before that. We'll see.
I also want you guys to know that every couple of episodes before we start recording, she will go in and then she's like, I'm going to save it. I'm like, yeah, for a couple more years. You got to save it. We'll get there. Not anytime soon, but we will get there.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. And we'll talk to you later.
All right.